Okay, so let's turn to VAT and have a quick review of the proposed changes. The reason that this is topical at this moment is because HMRC have just released the new, this is August 2012, they've just released the new information sheets in respect of the VAT changes, these rather disastrous VAT changes, which were announced in the 2012 budget. Now, most of these are due to take place, the changes are due to take place on the 1st of October, with one exception. The changes to so-called protected buildings are due to come on stream from April 2013. So for most of these, the kickoff date is the 1st of October 2012. Of course, the one that caused, you know, huge ire and anger and had the amazing vision of bakers marching on Downing Street and hurling pasties at the door of number 11, which I thought was highly amusing, was in respect to the so-called pasty tax. Now, that's strictly hot food and premises. Now, notice that title has got two things in it, hot food and premises. And the distinction is that the hot food is the pasty bit, the premises bit is the sort of growing trend for having food courts in in-town shopping centres where you get central tables and chairs and you get food outlets around the side of this. And what the Chancellor's trying to do in the second bit, the premises bit, is to make sure that the central tables and chairs are included within the definition of premises. And of course, that's relevant and important because when we talk about takeaway food, it's for consumption off the premises. So I can see that as being a reasonable anomaly to correct, but the pasty tax, of course, went terribly wrong. So let's just quickly review what's going to happen now, now that we've got a bit more detail. So the current rules, that is up to the first, or prior to the 1st of October 2012, is that, and let's do the hot food bit here, because that's the main part of this, the sale of food which has been heated for the purposes of enabling it to be consumed hot and is hot at the time that it's provided, that's going to be standard rated. That's easy, isn't it? So it's got to be food that is heated because it's going to be consumed hot, and it was actually hot when it was provided. That's the current rule. Now, from the 1st of October, in order to ensure that we get consistency, the food will be T20, standard rated. If the food is hot at the time it's provided, so that's a matter of fact, it's hot when it is provided, and now this is where it gets a little bit more complicated, you've got to satisfy one or more of five tests. Oh dear. The first one's dead straightforward, that it's simply been heated for the purposes of enabling it to be consumed hot. In other words, it's the current test. So that's easy. If it's hot and it's intended to be hot, and it was hot when it was sold, that's going to be standard rated. But the second test is that it's been heated to order. So if you say, yes, I'll have that pasty there in the cool cabinet, but would you please heat it for me, then that's going to turn it from T0 to a T20 for consumption off the premises. The other one, which I think makes most sense, is that if it's hot, say it's a pasty come out of the oven, and it's kept hot, that it's been put into a sort of a hot cabinet, then that also will make it T20. But just to complete these tests, test four says that it'll be T20 if it's provided to a customer in one of those kind of heat-proof packaging that retains the heat. That'll make it T22. And finally, sort of a little less obvious here, but it's advertised or marketed in a way that indicates that it's supplied hot. So that's the kind of key thing. So what do we mean by hot? Well, this is where we get into discussion about ambient temperature, but HMRC says it's not going to be too prescriptive about this. It sort of says you'll kind of know it when you see it. And if it's significantly above the ambient air temperature, as most people would want a pasty to be if they want it hot, then that is clearly going to be hot. But it's not just all of the food. If you've got part of a food product that's hot, then that will bring the whole thing into standard rating. And the example they give is a business selling bacon rolls. Now, the bacon's obviously hot, but the roll is cold. Now, as part of that product is hot, that's the bacon, then these new rules ensure that the whole of the product, the bacon roll, is going to be standard rated. So there's no possibility of apportionment on that. So that's the basic shape for the pasty tax. I think that's a little bit more sensible than what we had before. But of course, it remains to be seen how that's going to be put on the high street, as it were. So that's the first of my reviews here, VAT, hot food and premises. And on that premises point, just to remind you, if I may, that the food courts are going to be where we've got the central tables and chairs, they are going to be regarded as part of the premises of the food outlet that sold it. Okay, that's the first one, hot food and premises. The other one, which I think will be of interest to AAT members, are the change to the rules on self-storage. And I'm not going to spend too long on these. I'm just going to have a quick whiz through as we close off on the podcast. But I just want to remind you what's going on here, that effectively self-storage has been the grant of an interest in land, be it through a lease or more likely for short-term self-storage as a license to occupy. And of course, as we well know, those have traditionally been exempt because of the rules in Group 1 of Schedule 9 of the VAT Act. But the new rules from October the 1st, and these haven't changed, the new rules declare that self-storage will be one of the standard rated exceptions to the normal anything to do with land is exempt rule. So in Group 1 of Schedule 9 of the VAT Act, there are going to be some changes, and we're going to have an extra one on the list of compulsory standard ratings. So we're not going to escape our VAT and self-storage. Now, there are all sorts of things in this information sheet, which I won't go into. It does make the point that some supplies of self-storage will remain exempt. One of these is self-storage of livestock. That's not going to be affected by the rule, so the farming lobby managed to successfully get their bits out there. And also, where provision is made to a charity, and the charity uses the self-storage facility for a non-business purpose. So presumably if you rented a space to a charity that was storing blankets for disaster relief, that would be a non-business purpose, then that can still be exempt. So it's not universally the rule that self-storage is going to be standard rated. There are some exceptions to it. Okay, so that's a quick review of self-storage. Let's move on to our next one. And I think this one, it will be a sort of popular, as it were, perhaps that's the wrong word. It'll be relevant for a lot of AAT members. And it's the proposal to standard rate hairdressers' chair rental. Now, the government says, ironically, that it's not targeting hairdressers, but I can't understand that one at all, because as far as I can see, it absolutely is targeting hairdressers. But it's basically where you get hairdressing salons that charge a chair rental to the classic self-employed stylists. And it's not only the chair, which comes with certain rights of access, but it's also the services relating to the hairdressing. And from the 1st of October, all of these have got to be standard rated. A bit disingenuous, as I said, because, and here I quote, the courts have confirmed that the provision of chair rentals is standard rated. Well, I slightly disagree with that one. It's standard rated where it's a chair rental and where it's not covered by the exemption. But I carry on. However, some businesses have been applying the rules incorrectly. Well, I disagree with that one too. I think where it's exempt is exempt, and it's correct. But here's the nub. These changes confirm in legislation that hairdressing salons, barbers and other businesses are legally required to charge VAT on the provision of chair rental. But remember, it's not just chair rental, it's the subsidiary services as well. So if you provide an assistant or a cashier, booking of appointments, clearing, refreshments, laundry, all that kind of stuff, all those subsidiary services, and HMRC has produced a list of these on this information sheet. It's all on the front page of the website, by the way. You can access it from there under the What's New panel. Then those will have to be standard rated. Okay, I don't think I need to say much more on that. That is information sheet 1312, should you need to do that. But I think we've pretty much covered off on that. So let's move on. A quick word on the sports nutrition drinks. This is going to affect both shops and gyms, manufacturers and retailers of these so-called sports nutrition drinks. And of course, this I do see as a genuine anomaly. It's a bit of sour grapes, isn't it? Because HMRC have lost some court cases. Because the basic shape is that basic food is zero rated. That's where it has nutritional value. But beverages, key word there, beverages on the whole are standard rated. That is, they are exceptions to the T0 rule. And what's happening here is that some of these beverages, because of their high nutritional content, have managed to win in tribunal over HMRC, and they become T0 again because they've got lots of goodies in them. And effectively, from the 1st of October, gym businesses, shops that sell these and so on and so forth will have to T20 these sports nutrition drinks, and the fact that they've got this high nutritional content will be simply irrelevant. That's information sheet 1512. Well worth a look if you've got some clients or you're part of a shop or a gym organisation. Let's now move on to the taxing of caravans, effectively holiday caravans. And this is an anomaly, and I can sort of see the anomaly here, where you've got effectively touring caravans. Caravans that are small enough to be pulled on the road have always been T20. When you come to the bigger caravans, effectively the majority of these will be static caravans, then there's room for manoeuvre, because if the caravan was a static caravan and it was a home as opposed to a holiday home, then there was scope for zero rating that. And what HMRC is trying to do, and by the way, just to be clear about this, this is from April 2013, then there's a new treatment for static holiday vans, or large vans, if you like, holiday vans, which don't meet a certain British standard. So let's just pull the strings together just to make sure that we've understood this. The first and important thing is size. So size really does matter. If you've got a caravan that's sold on or after the 6th of April 2013, and it's smaller than, and the two numbers are 7 metres in length and 2.55 metres in width, then those are going to be standard rated. In other words, they're smaller caravans, they're going to be T20'd, and they should be T20'd already. But let's have a look at the caravans that are bigger than 7 metres long and 2.55 metres wide. If you've got one of these big caravans and it's not manufactured to this particular British standard, oh, go on, I'm going to give you the number here, 3632 of 2005. In other words, in my simple take on that, it's not very well insulated. It's just kind of a shorthand way of getting your heads around that. So if you're a big caravan and it's not insulated, this is the new thing, then it's going to be T5. It's going to be at the reduced rate. It's a bit of kind of face-saving here, a bit of a U-turn, but that effectively is the new point for us to get hold of. But if you've got a big caravan, just repeat the numbers, longer than 7 metres or wider than 2.55 metres, and it is manufactured to this British standard on insulation, then effectively that can continue to be T0. Now, that's the kind of the situation as far as new caravans are concerned. If you're selling second-hand caravans on or after the 6th of April 2013, then it could potentially affect a second-hand caravan unless it was occupied prior to the 6th of April, and it meets this British standard or an earlier version of that. Now, that's in this, just look at the title here. Yep, it's VAT Information Sheet 11 of 12. So if you've got clients that are involved with holiday caravans or big static caravans, then you should certainly read these. But the effective message is that from April 2013, we need to look at the size, and we also need to look at whether a caravan has been manufactured to this British standard. So instead of having two rates of VAT on caravans, as we would do, we're going to end up having three rates of VAT. And the new one, the T5, is going to be for large vans, effectively static holiday caravans, a lot of which are incidentally manufactured up in East Yorkshire around Hull. Then they are going to be under this new rate of 5%. Okay, last then, to complete my podcast, complete my review of the changes, this is the VAT on approved alterations to listed buildings. This one is from the 1st of October. It's on VAT Information Sheet 10 of 12. And effectively, if you recall there, there's some rather sort of not very easy to understand legislation in respect of protected buildings in Schedule A to the VAT Act, and it effectively allows, and there are two groups of people in here, builders, that is people doing work on property for other people, and developers, people who basically buy properties, do them up and sell them, to have a zero rating in certain defined circumstances. But the issue, as far as the builder is concerned, that's when he comes along and does work on a, well, effectively, this means listed dwelling, doesn't it? It'll take away, this is from the 1st of October, the need to distinguish between alterations, which have traditionally been zero rated, and repairs, which have traditionally been T20'd. And so from the 1st of October, the proposal is that these will all be at T20. Now, I've used the phrase listed building, but it's properly a protected building, isn't it? And it's either a listed building or a scheduled monument. And it's going to be a dwelling or a residential building, such as a nursing home or student accommodation. Or it's used as a charity for non-business purposes, or it's a place of worship, for example, a church. So we're talking here about scheduled monuments and churches, but by far the biggest member of this group are going to be listed dwellings. So it's all about work on listed dwellings if you want the essential information here. So as far as the builders are concerned, remember I said there are two groups of people. The first group is the builder doing work. From the 1st of October, it's basically going to be T20. There are some provisional rules so that if you've got work before and work after, you've got to think about the rules that relate to, well, it's almost similar to the change of VAT rate rules, but there's a principle of apportionment in there. And it's all in this information sheet 10 of 12. So effectively, that's the first group of people. The second group of people that I referred to, and those are the developers. These are the people who buy buildings, do them up, and then sell them on. And if they're protected buildings, for which think broadly listed dwellings, they can T0 their final sale. Now, they are being restricted. Now, there are two tests, traditionally, two tests. First is that 3/5 of the cost of the developer's expenditure is going to be on these approved alterations, or they've knocked so much out of this old building that only the shell is left, and then they rebuild the inside. Those are the two tests. And the first of these, the 3/5, by reference to the cost of approved alterations, that's going. And that was always hard for people to understand in any event. So it's going to be a much simpler picture from the 1st of October. It's going to be, have you raised it down to the shell, taken everything out, shell just wobbling in the wind, and then you rebuild it? If so, you can still have the zero rating on the final sale of that building. So there you go, folks. That's my very quick review, sort of some topical tax points here. Obviously, there are a load more. At some stage, we will no doubt be talking about RTI and one or two other bits and pieces. But that's the situation that we are at the moment. I've just taken three big topical units out of the bucket, and we've kicked those around a bit. Always my pleasure to talk to AAT members. And I very much look forward to talking to you soon. And so until that point, just remains for me to say that I hope this has been some use to you and to say cheerio.